Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to Radio Free America on the Savage Nation. I am being assaulted by the city of San Francisco in their official capacity. And unfortunately for them, they're not going to lynch this black man. Now, I am not black, but I want you to understand what's going on in the United States of America. Many of you have been brainwashed so much that you don't even know what's going on. Right now, the so-called phony liberals are acting like the Ku Klux Klan. And guys like me are walking around and they want to hang us. The fact of the matter is, I met with one of the premier civil rights attorneys in the United States of America Friday evening, as I told you I was going to do. We had a quiet dinner in my house. He's going to be on this show in about 25 minutes. The man is very well respected in civil rights circles. And that is because he has fought for free speech and civil rights for 40 or 30 years. And he says, there's no difference whether you're a conservative or a liberal. You're an American citizen. And you're being surrounded by illegal aliens who are criminals, who are trying to take away your right to free speech and take away your livelihood. They have violated your constitutional rights. Now, I'm going to read you what this top attorney has said. You can read it on michaelsavage.com if you have the brains and want to read it. You can read it on WorldNet Daily because Joe Farah is my friend. And that leads me to the first question before I go to the actual legal opinion. Now, let me tell you, many of you hear from the phonies in talk radio, the conservative frauds who are in it only for the money, that they're afraid of the fairness doctrine. Let me ask you something. You don't think that a talk show host of my level being attacked by a city in America, mobilizing mobs of non-citizens against me, writing proclamations which defame me with falsehoods, is not more serious than a surgical strike through the fairness doctrine? You don't see the danger here? And you know something? What's amazing to me is that the real liberals understand this. They know that if they let these mobs come for me, they can go for them next. The people who are frauds are the fake conservatives like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. You want me to name all of them? I don't have to name all of them. It's amazing to me because when Rush was nailed for excessive drug usage, I went on the air and I defended Rush Limbaugh, even though I never met him, because I said it was unfair and it smacked the politics. When Imus was fired, I spent the whole show defending Imus, even though I think Imus is a talentless dirtbag. In fact, my Freedom of Speech Award contains an awful lot about Imus and the unfairness of the attacks by High Jackson and Sharp Tongue. And yet, no one has come to my aid in the radio business in the top tier. Some people have done so, and they're good people. But in the print media, you can count it on one hand. WorldNet Daily, Newsmax, Canada Free Press, and even Matt Drudge covered the story over the weekend for 24 hours. And I have to thank Matt for that. He probably doesn't even know it went up. If he did, good for him. And thank you, Matt. He understands what's going on here. Who in radio has come to Michael Savage's aid? Why has that fraudulent fat blowhard in the morning who postures as a conservative, why anyone listens to him, I'll never understand. He spent 3 hours supporting Karl Rove, telling us about a lunch he went to him in a golf game? Yeah, you think that it's a big fraternity, don't you, many of you listeners out there? You think that we conservatives are all a fraternity and we all meet. If you only knew the truth. If you only knew how many illiterate, uneducated dolts have wrapped themselves in the flag and are using you like a bunch of tools, you'd be sick, you'd puke. You're being used by them the same way you've been used by Karl Rove. Let me tell you, they could care less about the conservative values. They're in it for the money. And now I'm going to go on and read you what Daniel Horowitz, one of America's, for me, the number one attorney in American civil rights. I'll read it to you. We had dinner. Here's what he wrote me 2 days later. You want to know what a stand-up guy is? He's a stand-up guy. He's the first lawyer I ever met who really is an attorney, an advocate, somebody who stands up for somebody in trouble instead of running the cash meter in advance. Dear Michael Savage, you have a strong federal civil rights action that you can file against Supervisor Sandoval and the city of San Francisco. Let me repeat that! Gavin Two-Face Newsom. Any Twosome Newsom? What a fraudulent fake liberal you are, you pretty boy, you. You fraudulent pretty boy. You stink of perfume. You all disguise yourself as caring about minorities. You wouldn't be caught dead around one of them. You are fraudulent through and through, Gavin. You are a fraud all the way through, Gavin Newsom. You could have stopped these illegitimate, but you don't stand for civil rights. You're not a liberal. You are a fraud, Gavin Newsom, through and through. You are just like the Ku Klux Klan. You don't even have the guts of the Southern sheriffs of the 1950s to stand up like the greedy man you really are. You're a pig, Gavin. Dear Michael Savage, you have a strong federal civil rights action that you can file against Supervisor Sandoval and the city of San Francisco. Michael, you have a constitutional right to state your political opinions, and no city official has the right to lie about what you said or to call for a mob to come to your door to threaten you and to try to have you fired. Historically, Michael, the people of this country have never allowed the government to quash free speech. The civil rights lawsuit is one way that we keep the government off our backs. I have no problem with Sandoval voicing his opinions. He can disagree with you all that he wants. What he cannot do is harness the power of the state and use it to try and crush an individual citizen. I'm reading you a manifesto that's probably the most important manifesto since the civil rights movement. I don't think you people understand what's at stake here. I am right now in the crosshairs of the Ku Klux Klan of our time, which is the illegal alien movement, by the way. And I'll go on with his letter. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution states that, one, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Michael, after the Civil War, we passed the 14th Amendment, which made the First Amendment and all of the amendments in the Bill of Rights apply to the states. When the Board of Supervisors passes a resolution against you, that is government action abridging the freedom of speech. Do you understand who wrote this, that this is not Joe Blow, this is not an opinion from a guy in the street? I'll go on. It's a legal opinion. It's on michaelsavage.com. You ought to download it because this is the manifesto. This should be attached as an addendum to the Bill of Rights today. When the city supervisor Sandoval, in his role as a supervisor, organizes a mob to try and take away your top-rated national radio show, he is using the power of the state to crush freedom of speech. This is against the law. This same type of terrorism by government officials has been used in the past. The civil rights of our African-American brethren were regularly violated by police and government officials. In fact, it was John Kennedy who had to send federal troops to Mississippi to protect the Freedom Riders from mobs, which are often organized by the politicians. I want to pause right there. Mobs organized by the politicians. Mobs organized by the politicians. You liberals are the Ku Klux Klan of our time. You are being shown for what you are. You are the neo-fascists of our time. I'll go on with the legal opinion. If you file a federal civil rights lawsuit, it is like holding the Constitution in your hand and waving it in the face of those who think that they can violate your constitutional rights just because they are powerful. Now I'm going to pause again. How many times have you heard over the last year from the fraudulent liberals that their constitutional rights have been robbed by Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and George Bush, when in fact you know that they haven't lost a scintilla of their rights? The only people who have lost their rights were Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda conspirators. But here I am, Michael Savage, having my constitutional rights violated by fraudulent scumbags in the city of San Francisco, and nobody in the media comes to my aid. Nobody in the liberal movement comes to my aid except Daniel Horowitz, civil rights attorney. Not Rush Limbaugh, the great blowhard with a bag of golf clubs. He's an empty golf bag. I'll tell you more about Wallbanger and Leprechaun when I'm through. How you people can listen to them. I don't understand who you are. I don't know what kind of people you are. I don't know what kind of brains you have when you see patently who they are. The federal civil rights lawsuit that you can bring against Representative Sandoval was created by Congress on April 20th, 1871, as part of the Civil Rights Act of 1871. Now get ready for the bombshell. It is also known as the Ku Klux Klan Act because one of its primary purposes was to provide a civil remedy against the abuses that were being committed in the southern states, especially by the Ku Klux Klan. Michael Savage, you are protected by the Civil Rights Act because you are the victim of the same type of mob terror that the Klan used to inflict. This terror is being organized against you simply because people do not like what you say. Translated into legal language, you are being attacked by a type of terrorist because you have exercised your First Amendment rights. The Klansman in your case is wearing a suit and not a white robe. He is doing his dirty work under the hood of his elected position instead of under the coward's hood of the Klan. I'll pause right here. You are listening to history being made not only in talk radio, not only in the First Amendment, but also a seminal case in First Amendment law that is likely to wind up before the United States Supreme Court. You are living through history. The fraudulent liberals who you have fought against in your heart of hearts for all these years for what they've done to you and what they've done to this country. The phonies like Gavin Newsom, like Hillary Clinton, like Barbara Boxer, the neo-socialist fascists that they are on the side of the Ku Klux Klan of our time because they have not come to the aid of free speech, which is your free speech. And I want to warn you about something. Let's say you're a good liberal and you don't like any of my opinions. If you let these dirty bums get me, tomorrow they will get you. I'll be right back. Savage. I'm telling you that this case could be the flashpoint for taking America back from the illegitimate left-wing Ku Klux Klan of today. And the fact of the matter is I'm in the crosshairs. I'm the first that they want to take down, not through federal legislation in the form of the so-called Fairness Doctrine, which they could never pass, but by inventing stories and distorting what I actually said in order to try to harm me. Now, if an individual citizen does that, that's one thing. Civil rights group does it, it's another thing. But if a city official does it, it's illegal. And that's what I'm trying to read to you right now on the Savage Nation. I want you to understand that this has been done in the past. The Ku Klux Klan did this in the past by bringing mobs to black people's homes. Let's, for example, they go to Rosa Parks' home and they say, "How dare you be so uppity and ride in the front of the bus? We're going to go to your place of work, Rosa Parks, and we're going to get you fired." Well, that's illegal. The reason it's illegal is because we went through the civil rights movement. But now as the world turns, here I am a conservative. I'm in essence the Rosa Parks of my time in this case. And these people in the city government who pose as liberals are the Ku Klux Klan of our time. And you people are so brainwashed you don't even see it because they act like they're nice. They hug minorities. Do you know what hearts they have inside those suits? Let me read the rest of this letter because Daniel Horowitz will be with us very shortly. He said, "You are protected by the Civil Rights Act because you are the victim of the same type of mob terror that the Klan used to inflict. The terror is being organized against you simply because people do not like what you say. Translated into legal language, you are being attacked by a type of terrorist because you have exercised your First Amendment rights. The Klansman in your case is wearing a suit and not a white robe. He is doing his dirty work under the hood of his elected position instead of under the coward's hood of the Klan." You can read this entire analysis on michaelsavage.com. On the right side with Daniel's smiling face. God bless him. God bless Daniel. And many of you are saying, when is the protest? Should I go? I have no official answer to that question. I am not organizing any protest or counter-protest. I will tell you that tomorrow at noon on the steps of City Hall in San Francisco, this mob of illegal aliens and their communist scum brethren will be there calling for my head on a platter. City Hall, noon tomorrow, I will not be there. the next day, 4 p.m., in front of my radio station in San Francisco, the illegal alien hordes, who don't even belong in this country, along with these troublemaking city officials who are the Ku Klux Klan of our time, will be calling for my firing. I will not be there. I have said to you, if you want to help me, go onto my website and download the illegal opinions and circulate them. And if you want, buy my Freedom of Speech Award and circulate it. And I'll be using that money for my legal defense fund. Do not send me any money. I'm not raising any. I don't need a handout. You want to buy something, and I'll use that money from now on. I am no longer in the fundraising business for anybody else. It'll be for me right now. Okay? Let me continue reading. There's some, I could use 10 hours right now. I am very aware of the hateful things that this supervisor has said in the past, writes the lawyer. I know that he has tried to incite mobs to go to the homes of people he does not like. I know that he has tried to get mobs to interrupt religious ceremonies involving 13-year-old Jewish children. He seems to be a very malicious man. I wish that you would remind your listeners that even as you oppose illegal immigration, you have always stood strongly against discrimination. I don't think people like Sandoval have read your books or even listened to many of your shows. Michael Savage, I have. You are the kind of person who will stand up against the government when it comes down unfairly against any group. I noticed that Sandoval claims that you slander immigrants. Of course, he is really the one who slanders immigrants because he groups illegal immigrants who you criticize with legal immigrants who you support. To him, they are just one big group. This Sandoval fellow accused you of using defamatory language against immigrants. Of course, this is a statement. This statement is slander. I have listened to your show, Michael Savage. You are very complimentary of immigrants. In fact, you frequently mentioned that your parents were immigrants. The slander by Sandoval arises because he claims that your opposition to illegal entry into this country is somehow a stand against Hispanics. Listen to this. That is like saying that every Border Patrol agent and every congressperson is anti-immigrant because they don't condone illegal border crossing. When Sandoval purposely accuses you of being against immigrants, when you are in fact in favor of legal immigrants and against the criminal conduct of illegal entry, Sandoval slanders you. But then he goes even further. Sandoval's use of the mob to try to terrorize you is reminiscent of the tactics of Hitler, Stalin, Chavez, and any other fascist who uses the power of the state and mob to silence speech. I will stand up to this bum. I'm not rolling over.
Savage.
We're talking about the attack upon conservative talk radio, in this case, me, Michael Savage, by the Ku Klux Klan of our time. Illegitimate, illegal aliens who are criminals by definition, who are assembling tomorrow on the steps of City Hall being, let's say, fomented by a city official, and the next day in front of my place of business. If we had a legitimate federal government, if we had a legitimate Homeland Security Department, they would bring deportation buses to these rallies and arrest them all, sort out the legal from illegal, and then deport those who don't belong there. But we don't have a legitimate federal government. We have a pack of liars. And I'm standing here alone. Your good friend Rush Limbaugh, that empty golf bag, has not had one word. I stood up for that bum when they accused him of using too many pills. He didn't say one word for me. You don't have any idea how you're being duped by the left and the right in this country, which is why I've defined myself for 10 years as an independent conservative. But let's put me aside for a minute. Right now, I'm going to bring up Daniel Horowitz, all-around good man. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here.
Daniel, I'm very emotional because we've gotten to know each other over the last year, and you know my background, son of an immigrant. You know that I don't particularly like people to push me around or tell me what to do or what not to do. You also know that I hate injustice of any kind, and I hate bullies. And yet, Daniel, these left-wingers have so distorted the reality that people are living through that they've made themselves look or appear through camouflage and trickery, smoke and mirrors, if you want, as though they're really representing the oppressed minority. But you've laid it out very carefully. I open the floor to you, Daniel. Please speak. I have nothing else to say.
I know. I'm worked up about this too, Michael. When I listen to you on the radio, when I talk to you personally, what I hear time and time again is a big-hearted, compassionate man who is willing to stand up for anybody who is oppressed. Right now, the people who are oppressed are those who want legal immigration and feel that illegal immigration is bad for America and bad for the people who come here illegally. And these people, like Sandoval, are turning it against you, and he is slandering you because he says Michael Savage is against immigrants. No. Michael Savage is for immigrants and wants these people here legally so they have full protections of the Constitution, of the police. They're not exploited. Michael Savage is for immigrants, and Sandoval is against immigrants. He wants them like slaves so that he can stand up for them, make-believe stand up, and have power over them. If they were here legally, they would throw him in the garbage. That's how I feel, Michael.
Daniel, I'm not going to give you a political litmus test, and you and I have really never talked politics, and I don't intend to start now, but I would assume that you're more liberal than I am. Is that fair to say?
I'm more liberal, and your great defender, Martin Garbus, who is the First Amendment darling of the left, is also your great defender.
And Martin Garbus, who just defended Don Imus, who I met at your recent function. Is a man who defended Lenny Bruce, who knows what the First Amendment means. He's your cousin, right?
Yes, and let me read you the email that I just got from him, because he's on vacation in Italy, and I wrote to him about what's going on. He wrote six words back. Will return if Michael needs me.
Oh, my God. I don't believe this. You know, I know what good people are, and I know what fraudulent people are. What, you guys from Brooklyn are much better than the guys I knew from the Bronx and Manhattan. You're really good people. So, you see, this is what's all about, Daniel. It's really not about liberal or conservative. It's really about good people, period. So you're coming to my aid in my time of need when politically we are probably poles apart on so many issues, but we probably agree on more than we disagree in some ways. One thing we both agree on is we don't like a government stepping on a person. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, and your type of speech, if I disagree with you and it makes my blood boil, that's healthy, because that means that I'm going to speak out against you in very strong language, and that's what democracy is about. So,
all right, so wait, let me take devil's advocate. You're going to speak out against me strongly. Can't Sandoval claim that's all he's doing?
But that's not all he's doing. He's lying about what you said. He's taking your language, which is legitimate, honest speech, and claiming that it's hate language, which it is not. And then he's organizing a mob using his political position to help organize that mob to take your job away. You know, Michael, if I wore an Oakland A's hat or how about a New York Yankees hat in San Francisco, and all of a sudden Sandoval said, oh, he's against the San Francisco Giants, I want to take his job away, that would be so stupid, people would laugh Sandoval right out of town. But because he's couching it in political terms, somehow people go, well, can he do that? No, he cannot use the power of the government, of his government position, to try to take your job away, to silence you, because he doesn't agree with you. He can speak out, but he can't try to get a mob to come at you.
All right, you then sent me something more recently today, which we'll get into eventually. You asked, it says, Daniel Horowitz's opinion on SF supervisor case. And again, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I hope you indulge me in this for the next period of time in my broadcast, because it seems to me that all the 14 and a half years in broadcasting has come down to this. It has coalesced down to me becoming the biggest target in the United States of America of the illegitimate, illegal alien criminals and their phony liberal city and state and federal officials behind them. What's a killer to me here, Daniel, is that men who pose like liberals, like the mayor of the city, who frankly could stop this by saying, I detest what Michael Savage may have said, but he has a right to free speech. And yet Mayor Newsom has not said one word. Phony liberals like Boxer and Feinstein are silent. Nobody on the federal level has said we're going to bring deportation buses to stop these mobs from threatening an American citizen. Am I not right in saying I deserve federal protection?
You do, Michael, and you also deserve protection from the ACLU. They stand up for Nazis. They stand up for people who are not even Americans. Why don't they stand up for good old-fashioned American free speech?
Well, I'll let you answer that question. Daniel, would you be willing, or is it of any relevance for you to state on the show at this time some of your most prominent cases so they understand who you really are?
Michael, I've represented the former Prime Minister of Ukraine in a huge case which pitted the freedom forces of Ukraine against the old Communist Guard. I did that in the U.S. District Court. I have a major privacy case on behalf of somebody, a very prominent figure, I can't say, where she's fighting for the right of marital privacy, not to have your marriage secrets put out in the press as part of some sort of legal campaign. I've done probably 150 jury trials, Michael, federal courts throughout the United States. So that's just a brief overview.
Okay, well, 100, I know she added that as a footnote, 115 federal cases. I like what you said. Now, here's the most important question of the day, Daniel. How did you like the Pescatore Alfredo?
Oh, Michael, I think people cook a little bit better when it's for you because you're so appreciative of their food. It was great.
No, I got to admit, it was takeout. I don't eat cream sauces. I got Daniel a Pescatore Alfredo, and I got a Pescatore with the red sauce. But we had a good bottle of Pommard, didn't we?
You know, I haven't been drinking French wine until they decided they liked Americans and sent that nice guy over to make friends with us. And I'm glad.
Yeah,
that
well, right. Now that Sarkozy is the prime minister, I can drink French wine again. I've had this for about 8 years. But we had a nice dinner and we had a nice talk quietly alone in a house. It was so much better than being in a restaurant where we really couldn't talk. You came up with a good idea for a business, too, which is to open a takeout restaurant in Italy because you said they don't do takeout food.
It was so strange. I think it's because Italians like eating so much. They have to sit down. They have to have so many courses. They couldn't take it out. But I think that they should have good Italian food takeout. And maybe I can move there with you, and we can stop all this craziness.
Okay, we have a caller who says that he's on the side of the supervisor, Daniel. I'm going to put him up and let you answer him. Will that work for you?
He has free speech rights. I'm anxious.
He has free speech on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Sebastian, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dan, thank you for being Mike's mouthpiece today.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, here's the first thing. I got just 2 points I want to make. The first one is that, Mike, you hate liberals so much, really, because you love them. When the time that you used to spend in San Francisco as a liberal with...
All right, Sebastian, please, make you don't know what you're talking about. Let's talk about this case. You're going in circles.
I'm going to talk about the case, all right? But the first thing I want to say is that you have a connection with liberals that
right, if you don't stop running at the mouth, we don't need to listen to your verbal diarrhea. Go to a latrine and clean it out first. If you have nothing cogent to say, you're not going to speak on my show. Now get to the point, please.
This is the point. I agree, okay, with everything that's happening right now because this is a reflection, Michael. This is the same kind of vitriol and bile that you put out there on the airways every day. You've called...
All right, let's pause right here. Daniel, how does it differ what I say as strongly as I speak against illegal immigrants? How does it differ in the case of a city official trying to have my job and slandering me? Explain it to this man.
Well, there are two differences. First of all, you're not using a position as an official to illegally target somebody and take their job because you don't like what they said. The government, the state, cannot use its power to silence people. That's un-American. Number two, this guy has gone further, not just with Michael Savage, but with other people he disagrees with. He has advocated mobs coming to their houses, coming to children's religious ceremonies, to disrupt and potentially threaten and hurt. You know, you can't punch somebody in the mouth because you don't like what they say. Michael Savage is strong in his words, but he does not threaten people. Sandoval threatens to hurt people, and he uses the power of the state to do it. That's the difference.
Now, you're listening to an attorney who's argued 150 cases in federal court, Daniel Horowitz. This is not an opinion that is just unthought. And so if you want to talk about this a little further, I'd like to now read what Daniel sent me a little earlier. Daniel, I'm going to read what you sent me on your opinion. You say, has Supervisor Sandoval committed a state crime? Your answer is probably not, but he's getting close. Shall I read the rest of this, Daniel? Would that be okay?
Interesting.
Shall I go on with it, or do you want me to keep it off the air?
Good point. It's good.
Okay. The next one is, you say, has Sandoval committed a federal crime? Maybe already, and if not, he's getting close. The city, to the extent that he used his official capacity, may have already committed a federal crime, meaning the city of San Francisco could have stopped this man already. You then say Sandoval has 100% possibly committed a federal crime, especially given his history of prior threats to businessmen in Tiburon and Jewish children. Plus, he's an attorney, so he knows that his conduct is terrorism. He is getting close to a crime, but probably not quite there, but close. You then read California Penal Code Section 422, and then you read the federal, and I'm going to read this. The FBI is the lead federal agency for investigating color of law abuses, which include acts carried out by government officials operating both within and beyond the limits of their lawful authority. Off-duty conduct may be covered if the perpetrator asserted his or her official status in some way, sources the FBI itself. His actions are a civil rights violation. You then go into the criminal acts, and then you say if you get killed or hurt. And I have to read this. Now, remember who he's fomenting. He is fomenting mobs of illegal aliens, some of whom are no doubt criminals, some of whom may be dangerous gang members. I want the people to understand the danger he is putting me in. How many of those so-called students are criminals? Only the FBI and the Justice Department could answer that, and they're not involved. How many of them are members of dangerous criminal illegal alien gangs hiding as students? Only the Justice Department and the federal FBI, after an arrest, could tell us that. So Daniel wrote this. If you get killed or hurt, if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title of imprisonment for any term of years for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. You say, but his speech is not protected because the statute goes on to say, that meaning the supervisor's speech, you say, is not protected. Quote, as used in this section, the term participating lawfully in speech or peaceful assembly shall not mean the aiding, abetting, or inciting of other persons to riot or to commit any act of physical violence upon any individual or against any real or personal property in furtherance of a riot. Won't he say he's just leading them in front of the radio station and in a peaceful protest, Daniel?
Well, he's using the power of the government, his position as supervisor, to try to stir up mob violence, and if it's not violence, certainly a mob protest to take your job away in punishment for your First Amendment exercise of the exercise of your right. So, Michael, either he's trying to get you hurt, or he's trying to take your job away, and you have a right not to be deprived of your job by the government without due process of law. Sandoval's slander in a resolution, slander that leads to a mob coming to your radio station, that's not due process of law. If Sandoval resigns from the Board of Supervisors, he can say an awful lot of things that he might get away with. But when he does it under the guise of being a supervisor, he lies about what you said in papers that he files with the Board of Supervisors, he's using the government against you. And that's when we all have to unite. Liberals have to be on your side just as strongly as conservatives. Otherwise, we don't have a country.
Wow. Well, that's why in my Freedom of Speech DVD, Daniel, which I have not yet sent to you, I state that good liberals like yourself used to say, I may disagree with you, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it. We don't hear that coming out of the mouth of liberals anymore. Let's say progressives, because the big difference between so-called progressives and liberals, as we well know. We're talking about First Amendment rights, the threats to free speech, the attack upon conservative talk radio with Daniel Horowitz, civil rights attorney, right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, anybody can say that they're a good person and they're for the oppressed and they're for the downtrodden. But, you know, after 30 to 40 years of being brainwashed, many of you are very confused and you don't even understand how the paradigm has been shifted, where today a man like me is the civil rights worker of the 1960s and the oppressive government, the so-called Southern sheriff, the fat pig of the old days, sitting there with his feet on the desk, burying Mickey Schwerner in a dam, is now the good liberal of San Francisco. Don't you understand that? You idiots! 30 years of smoking marijuana, you don't even understand what's happened to you. That's why you're losing your country. You've taken the side of illegal alien vermin. Hordes, barbarians overrunning your hospitals and your schools. The country said no to them. Legally, we said no. We stopped them legally. And so now they're trying to take away the man, one of the most important voices you have left to save your borders, language, and culture. And who comes to my aid? A good liberal. Who's willing to come back from Italy to my aid? A good liberal attorney who represented Lenny Bruce. And you, the phony liberal, sits there and says you're on the side of the illegal alien, you fraud, you. Why don't you have 20 of them move into your house yet? You fakes, you. Let me read the rest of this. Daniel gave me this later today. 18 U.S. Code number 241, conspiracy against rights. And listen very carefully, you fraudulent supervisors, you, because you may go to jail for life. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the constitutional laws of the United States, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if any such acts include kidnapping or blah, 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 or an attempt to kill, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. We're dealing with very serious business here. This is no longer just a talk show host doing it for ratings, which many of you think it is, because you live in your own glib world of cynicism. I don't. I actually live the words that I speak, and I speak the words that I live. And I believe every word that I say, except when I speak them in jest, and I'm pretty clear when I do that. But let me tell you something. I'm not speaking in jest today. You're listening to a man fighting for his life. And lucky for me, I have a good friend who happens to be a top civil rights attorney. And even luckier yet, his cousin who was in Italy is willing to fly back from Italy if I need him to. I can't believe what these men are, how good these guys are. So let's go back to Daniel Horowitz. Daniel, I'm sorry to take up your valuable time, but I am so, on the one hand, pressed against the wall. You know, these in court cases, don't they talk about the psychological effects that certain acts have upon people?
Now, in your case, Michael, I mean, you're fighting. You're a fighter. So the psychological effect is the harder they push, the more you're going to be a hammer against them. But you know what? You have a right to be sitting on your boat drinking that French wine and not having to be a hammer once your show is over.
Daniel, I am living behind locked doors with loaded shotguns and pistols because of this man. I am worried for the safety of my life and my family because he's fomenting illegal aliens.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Turns as the world turns, here I am, upside down and back, and here I am in front of the microphone. Let's hear Dylan for a minute.
Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall, for he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are a-changing.
It is the Savage Nation, an immigrant son, speaking out. Well, just speaking out. And because this immigrant son had the nerve to speak out against the illegal alien hordes, represented by nefarious forces of drug dealers and other criminals, as represented by some officials in governments around America, I am now being threatened with physical and financial harm. Fortunately for me, I have some good people in my corner, including civil rights attorneys, one of whom, really only one of whom, is with us right now because I only have one in my corner. I only need one good one. I don't need 20 bad ones. Daniel Horowitz. And Daniel's going to join us now. But here's how I'd like to run the few minutes that we have left with Daniel Horowitz. If you have an important question for him, and you can focus it, call us at 1-800-449-8255. And if you want to help in any way, I know many of you want to be out there, you want to be emotional. I am not at all involved in any of the protests, whether it be tomorrow on the steps of City Hall at noon or the next day in front of KNEW Radio at 4 o'clock when they're going to call for my firing. I'm not going to be there. Now, what's interesting, you can be there if you want. It's your decision. But I'm not there. I'm not part of it. I'm not against it or for it, any counter-protest. I would suggest if you want to help, you educate yourself. And how do you educate yourself? Read what Daniel Horowitz wrote in the Ku Klux Klan Act, the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act, Protect Savage, says top civil rights attorney. My webmaster left out the word anti. There was only three times that I told him to add that, but that's okay. He'll get it right by tonight. You can download it and give it to your friends, and you'll see how the times really have it changed. You can also help, if you wish, by going onto my website and taking and looking, checking out the Freedom of Speech DVD. It's very ironic to me that I, Michael Savage, won the Freedom of Speech Award at the Torkus Convention in May, and here I am, just a few months later, being attacked by non-citizens for freedom of speech. Isn't that amazing? Not one word in the New York Times, not one word in the Washington Post, not one word from any major league liberal, because they're all fraudulent liberals. None of them are real. I want to thank my friends at WorldNet Daily, Joe Farah. I want to thank Phil Brennan at Newsmax, Chris Ruddy at Newsmax. I want to thank Judy McLeod at CFP. I want to thank Matt Drudge. And I want to thank the two people in the media who said a word about me, Laura Ingram and Rusty Humphreys. Other than that, I'll let you judge who the empty golf bag is. Daniel Horowitz, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael.
Daniel, I'm an immigrant's son. You understand the history of oppression in my family very well. I've never talked about it, and I don't intend to begin here. The tragedy and history of oppression in my family, it's amazing to me that it would come so full circle that I've devoted 30 years of my life, many, many of these years, Daniel. I don't want to get into this whole thing with I'm no victim here. Don't get me wrong. I was crushed by affirmative action. My family was denied a proper income for a man who worked so hard for his degree simply because I was a white boy, not of the proper race. And now, look at this, Daniel. Now they want to take away my millstone. And the Bible says, he who takes away a man's millstone, it is as though they have killed him. Daniel, I'm not going to let them kill me so easily, am I?
No, Michael. You know, you make a good point. There's been a shift away from free speech to free speech if you agree with us, and no free speech if you say what's not politically correct. And that's what's being used against you. You clearly are within the protections of the First Amendment. I mean, Imus was in the protections of the First Amendment, and what he said was just gratuitous drivel. You're making really solid, meaningful points in a very strong manner. You are completely protected. And by the way, look what happened when they fired Imus. Look what Imus did to them. Imagine what you're going to do to Sandoval, the city of San Francisco, and anyone who tries to hurt you. Legally, I guarantee that you will hurt them.
Let me ask you about the Imus case, because it was your cousin Marty Garbus, who's in Italy right now, who said he'd fly back for my defense if I needed him, which we don't, because it's not going to happen that fast. Is it public yet what Imus won?
No, but just remember what Marty said before when the case first started. Marty said, this case is so easy to win, a child could win it. Your case is the same.
Well, I know that the number $120 million was thrown out there, and of course CBS said they'd countersue, which they didn't do, did they?
Well, I can't say a word about this.
Oh, okay, right. I understand. I don't want to pry it. It's not fair to the situation, and I don't want to take advantage of our friendship. I have an open line to America right now, 377 radio stations. Do you know that these jerks in San Francisco don't even know that I'm a national host, Daniel? They think that I broadcast only on one station. They're so disconnected from reality that they don't even understand that I have a national audience running from coast to coast, from border to border. Moreover, Daniel, here's something for you to really ponder. In all of this turmoil, not one reporter from one local newspaper has come to Michael Savage by telephone and said, what is your opinion? They continue to publish these articles against me without asking me my opinion or what I actually said. Can you believe that, Daniel?
I can, but the point I'm making is in June of this year, you won the most prestigious award in radio broadcasting, the Freedom of Speech Award. So you were recognized as somebody who's in the front lines. The trouble is, when you are the point man on the front lines, and then you get under attack, a lot of people run.
Interestingly enough, one of the supervisors who's attacking me, Chris Daly, a left-wing loony bird, is now trying to stop the Blue Angels in San Francisco. He wants to stop these fighter planes from flying over San Francisco, the very same whack job, drafted this resolution today with three anti-American advocacy groups, Code Pink, Global Exchange, and Veterans for Peace. Listen to this. You won't believe this. He says flyovers pose a public safety risk. Listen to this. Listen to this tripe. And that it makes animals frightened when this... here it is. The resolution also says that veterans of the war are, quote, at risk of being traumatized, that the loud roars of the Blue Angel jets terrorize small children, seniors, pets, and local wildlife, and that the jet fuel used harms the environment. This is the same supervisor who joined Sandoval in trying to get my job and also to lie about me. Can you believe this, Daniel?
Sure. These are the people who are trying to emasculate America, take away our culture, our pride, our spirit, so that then we can be taken over by any political group that tells us what to do. They're turning us into sheep, and he's one of these people. That's all.
Are you sure you're a liberal, Daniel?
I'm a liberal. That's what a liberal does. A liberal fights for the American way, and if the American way doesn't go my way all the time, who cares? At least it's the American way. I can't always be right, Michael, but the American way is always right.
Bravo, Daniel. Rick on KNEW in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm one of these San Franciscos that know you have a national audience, and I have a couple of questions for Mr. Horowitz. Can't this Sandoval character be charged with aiding and abetting a criminal conspiracy to bring these people here to damage Michael Savage, to threaten his safety? And you know the mayor's not going to have these 400 illegals arrested. Can the governor send out the National Guard to have them arrested? It's time to take this country back.
You know, the governor could do that. At least the governor could monitor what's going on. I don't think he will. Certainly, if there's a lawsuit, we'll start taking depositions, demanding documents, and find out who's behind this and what their real agenda is and what kind of long-term plans they had for Michael Savage. And who knows what we'll uncover.
Oh, my God, Daniel, that's brilliant. So you mean our Republican Governor Schwarzenegger actually could step in and say, wait a minute now, you have no right to intimidate a man on the radio just because he said something you don't like. He could do that, couldn't he?
John Kennedy sent troops to Mississippi when people were marching, when the Freedom Riders were there, and they were under attack by the government. A governor, a president can do that kind of thing.
Amazing. Could the Attorney General of the State of California do anything here?
Thought about writing him a letter today, setting forth some of the potential criminal violations, and I said, you know, I'll wait. Wait until we have some real smoking gun, as Sandoval said, let's get Savage hurt, or let's get illegals who, you know, can hurt him and then vanish, and they can't be found. When I get a smoking gun like that, he'll come in. I guarantee you, I'll bring him in.
Mm-hmm. Sacramento, Rick, on KSTE, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm wondering if this case could be decided on summary judgment, or would it require a full-fledged trial?
Well, from my point of view, I'd rather go to trial. I'd rather have that guy on the stand. Maybe I could win by summary judgment, but wouldn't it be fun to make each of these idiots be under oath and sit in a witness stand and be questioned? That's what I'd like to do.
Well, you know, there's a statement that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, Daniel. I agree with you that there's only one way to get the truth, and that's put somebody under oath and put them in a witness stand. I mean, that tends to make everybody a little more honest than they normally would be, because contempt is an awful, mighty, powerful weapon. Look what just happened to poor Scooter Libby for allegedly lying to an FBI agent, even a minor lie to a federal prosecutor, is a very serious charge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And a guy like Sandoval is really not that intelligent. And if you put him on the witness stand, he will undo himself. People will hear what he says. And after a while, when he's not soundbiting what he says to potentially a friendly press corps as well, when he's there in full glory, people will say, what a raving lunatic idiot, and he'll be discredited forever.
We're speaking about the First Amendment. We're speaking about the attempt to destroy conservative talk radio. We're speaking about Michael Savage in the sights of illiberals in San Francisco with Daniel Horowitz, civil rights attorney and all-around good man who loves Pescatore Alfredo. I'll be right back.
Savage.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
It is the Savage Nation as the world turns. It's the 60s all over again. And, well, I have a knowledge of what exactly has happened. Many of the true liberals of the 60s are the conservatives of today. And most of the progressives are actually the Marxists of then disguised as liberals today. I mean, it's been said before, perhaps in other ways, and we all sense this. But we don't have any idea how this nonsense arose. That's for another show. I want to take a moment out to tell you I have a very important announcement. There is no truth to the rumor that Karl Rove will be taking my position in radio. I want to repeat that. There is no truth to the rumor that Karl Rove will be taking over for Michael Savage. Dan Horowitz, welcome back to the program. You know, I only say that in jest because Karl Rove retired today. Just on a political level, I think that he retired because he couldn't get Bush's agenda for illegal immigration through, and they threw him overboard. What do you think?
Oh, you're asking me? That's your expertise, Michael.
Okay, no. Well, my guess is that Karl Rove was dismissed because he failed to get the he could not lobby sufficient to push through the illegal immigration reform bill that George Bush had made the centerpiece of his entire administration. And now they're going after the talk show hosts who were so important in stopping this cannonball from flying through the mast of our ship of state. And I'm number one on the list. I'm the number one target because I led the largest number of emails. Believe me, you know, Daniel, I must have been responsible for a good couple of 100,000, if not a couple of million emails that went out to Congress. Do you think the government has the ability to understand where these emails came from and to track them by computer?
I've been getting a lot of emails. I just got one now during the break from people saying you're the ultimate liberal. Thank you for undertaking this heroic defense of this patriotic cause. I mean, people are very stirred up by this.
Well, they should be. Maybe this will bring the true liberals and the true conservatives together to defend America. It's the only thing that can save this country is that we have to isolate the extremists. And the extremists in this case are the so-called progressives and the so-called phony conservatives. They're more dangerous to me. To me, the fake conservatives are more dangerous than the fake liberals. But that's for another show. Daniel, is there anything that you'd like to say in the 2 minutes that remain? Anything that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Yes. I mean, Marty Garbus wrote a book in 1998 about free speech. And let me read a few sentences because it's exactly what's going on right now. He talks about how the liberals love First Amendment lawyers, but then he says, there are, however, subtle forms of censorship that draw support from these liberal groups. Speech that offends a person or a particular group is now under increased scrutiny in recent years and is the most endangered species of free expression. The popular adage that freedom of speech obliges us to defend even those whose ideas are most repugnant to us is a sentiment more easily proclaimed and followed. And he predicted that this would happen to people like you, Michael, back in 1998, and now it's happening.
Tell me what Nat Hentoff, the writer for the Villager Voice, wrote. You said in the 60s that he wrote this. You told me this over dinner Friday. It's a very important point. What did Mr. Hentoff say?
He was one of the very first of the strong liberals to come out and say, I don't like the way this free speech movement is developing in this era, because all of a sudden it's free speech just for us if it's politically correct, and that is the very opposite of free speech in my era, meaning when he really championed it for all of us. And he predicted that what would happen is that politically correct speech would be free and all other speech would be banned. He saw it coming.
Right out of Animal Farm or Marxism, as we well know, Daniel, which is why you are so important right now. This could become a seminal case, as important as some of the great cases of the 1960s. You know, they say the Brown versus Board of Education case is seminal. This could be the Savage versus the City of San Francisco supervisors. This could become a seminal case in free speech, and I intend to pursue it. Daniel Horowitz, all I can say is thank you and God bless you. I'll be back to take your call.
Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned. Our eyes see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were.
So we know about Londonistan. We know that England took down the Union Jack a long while ago, but we have not yet lowered the American flag in this country. We have not yet taken it and permitted the illegal aliens from Central and South America, from Mexico, to overrun our country and take our flag down and put theirs up. And yet they have many federal, state, and local officials who would like to do so. That's what this is all about. I'm on the front lines. I was the most outspoken radio talk show host against George Bush's so-called McCain-Kennedy illegal alien reform act, whatever they called it. I had you send hundreds of thousands or millions of emails, and now they're trying to target me for extinction. So all I can say to you is I'm glad that I have a good liberal civil rights attorney in my corner, because the only thing these people understand is the courts. And right now, unfortunately for them, the court, the Supreme Court itself, is no longer liberal. It is center right. It is 5-4 center right. They're going to lose. They're going to lose from the. They're going to lose at the first step, and they'll lose it all the way up to the top. And when I win this, I want to tell you right now, it's not for personal gain. I don't know who will be the beneficiary of this huge victory financially, but I'm going to give away a good portion of it, perhaps to the Marines Defense Fund if they still need it, or other good causes. I'm going to donate the money, most of it anyway. But we're not there yet. I have to spend maybe $1 million to get there. And that's what I'll have to do. I'll raise the money if I have to. And we'll do that when we have to. But right now, we don't have to do a thing other than be here together on the Savage Nation. Again, the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. There are other stories out there. I'm not interested in them, though. I must tell you, you know, I know this is self-obsession. I recognize that you probably want to talk about other stories, and you can. If you want to bring them up, and you want my commentary, you simply want to say, hey, Mike, let's talk about this, call me at 1-800-449-8255. There's a story here that caught my eye just now during the break. Hurricane storms toward Hawaii. Hurricane Flossie. Sustained winds of 126 miles an hour roaring towards the Big Island, but it was expected to pass by the islands. I don't know why they run a story like this. I mean, there are always storms in the middle of the sea that just miraculously roar around the landmass. Category 1 hurricane, 74 miles an hour. You know, Category 4 storm with maximum sustained winds of 140. I like these categories. I was once on a ship in the South Seas, which I told you about. I forgot its name. It was a 5,000-ton former expedition ship turned into a cruise ship. I was going back and forth, Tahiti to Fiji. I was on it with the Mrs. S. and the children when they were very young, lecturing a group of passengers. And we were hit at night as I went to sleep. With I thought were a pounding. I thought that the hull was being pounded by a sledgehammer. It was the sound of a sledgehammer against the bow of the ship. So I come up. Nobody is awake. It was eerie, like a ghost ship. The ship is pitching and yawing and up and down. Everyone's asleep. I go up to the wheelhouse, and there's the German captain in an undershirt, unshaven, with his hands locked on the wheel. He's got these piercing blue eyes out of a Panzer tank, staring straight ahead. And he starts to say, lecturer, 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 every day Tahiti, Fiji, Fiji, Tahiti. And the guy was like in another zone, in another world. I think he told me we're in a Category 3 or 4 storm. But that was the closest I ever came, I think, to whatever it is I came to. But thank God this captain had the guts and the skill to navigate through that storm. It was not a big ship. So here we are. And on that ship, and on that farm, there were some pigs, E-I-E-I-O. And on that ship, by the way, there were some, I remember now, yeah, there were some veterans of World War II who had been pilots who flew in the Marianas and some great, you know, aerial combat of World War II. And they were going back to, they were on this ship. I remember we sat and talked. Yeah, they were on the ship. I think they loved it. They told me that some ships went down in a hurricane like that the next day. Warships went down in a hurricane like that. So if I tell you that Woodchuck Bill, who I loved when I was 9 or 5 or 4 or 3, which I wrote about, Woodchuck Bill told us little kids up in the mountains that day that I've been through hurricanes and tornadoes. Well, let me tell you something. There's a little bit of Woodchuck Bill in me, too. KNEW, San Francisco. Eddie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, General. It's the original Angry Eddie calling you. Haven't spoken to you in quite a while.
Eddie. The original Eddies that I used to talk about.
Original Angry Eddies, yes, sir. And we all were located here in San Francisco. And, you know, I'm also the Savage Warrior that works for the other public safety department that's been fighting these SOBs that have now begun to target you. And it's important that... it's too bad Mr. Horowitz is not here, because I would have liked him to have commented on what I may have mentioned in the past, and that's the hidden hand behind all of this, the city attorney's office, who facilitates and, for the lack of a better term, empowers these Marxists, as you so appropriately label them, into taking these kinds of actions. And here's the thing, General. These people are as arrogant as they are inept. And that's a very important point to make
sure.
Yes,
they are. Remember, they're not that smart. And the fact of the matter is they're violating my federal civil rights, and we're going to sue them and win millions and millions of dollars in damages against the city of San Francisco. And the city attorney should have stopped this before it got this far. But the fact of the matter is, why won't they stop them? Because there are no consequences. They don't pay that. They don't pay that. Let's say I win $10 million. I'm picking a number out of the air, and I give most of it to charity. They don't pay it. They're not in private enterprise. The taxpayers pay it. So they just do it like it's fun for them.
And also, they like you said, they're not accountable because they sit behind something that I wish Mr. Horowitz would also have been able to comment on, and that is the immunity that they're provided under the law. This is how they are able to attack.
Well, but wait a minute. But Eddie, if you please go on to the michaelsavage.com website, you're going to see that they're not protected by immunity, that, in fact, they've already broken the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1871, which protected people against the Ku Klux Klan. That's what Daniel has figured out legally. They're not protected, Eddie. That's the point.
Correct, in terms of it's a qualified immunity, so they have to... It has to be proven, of course, that...
Right, of course, yes. It may take years to do so, and they may be on to another job somewhere. After all, there are many bathhouses in Thailand that may need somebody to clean the towels. Eddie, let me send you a free Savage Nation cap. That's all I can think of doing for you right now. San Antonio, Texas, let's go out of this area to Dagny. Dagny, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, hi. I called... the governor's office out there, and I called Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer about this issue of the illegals marching on you. The governor's office claimed to know nothing about it. Boxer and Feinstein basically gave me lip service, so I called City Hall. I got a representative out there, a nice lady. We talked about the fact that our family used to live out in Moraga and are thinking about moving back out there. I'm watching real estate prices and such, and she was very cordial. And then I brought up this issue of you possibly being picketed. She denied knowing anything about it, and then I pushed it a little bit more. And then she said, listen, we've got a major problem with the homeless out here. We don't have time to deal with this. At which point I said, you better know something about it, because we're talking about the First Amendment of the Constitution, at which point she hung up on me.
That's the city of San Francisco. You know, it's called a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. Is how I describe city officials like that. They put on the Queen Anne front, but behind it, it's Mary Anne, if you know what I'm saying. I actually learned that phrase when I was looking at real estate here in the late 60s. There was a very nice gentleman who happened to be gay, who was our realtor, the funniest, nicest guy on earth. And he said, oh, we call these Victorians. He said, they have a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. See, when I moved to this city, it was a delightful, wonderful, tolerant city. It's turned into something quite different, Dagny.
There when Ron Dellums was in office, so that was an interesting time too. But
isn't that a great line, a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind, when you have the facade of a Victorian when behind it it's a flat little building?
It's delightful. You know, the city of San Antonio, the new local newspaper is the San Antonio Express News, and it's actually a pretty good little newspaper. They had a field day with your new police commissioner out there.
Yeah. Do the listeners to this show know that this city just elected, as supervisor, a transgendered individual who runs a sex shop? That's how far the city has degenerated, Dagny. So, I mean, I understand that, you know, I learned when I was very young from a wiser older man, be particular whose insults you take to heart and things like that. I'm not taking to heart these insults. I'm taking them to court. That's quite different. Let me send you a free copy of the Michael Savage Freedom of Speech DVD, which we're going to play a piece of in a moment on the Savage Nation. As a matter of fact, right now, folks, can you please, Beowulf, dig up that one piece that cut from my great DVD? This is so ironic. That's so ironic to me that I win the most coveted award in talk radio. Remember, Rush didn't win it. Leprechaun didn't win it. Hannity didn't win it. Michael Savage wins it. And then I'm attacked for freedom of speech here in the city of San Francisco, and not one word is said by any of the so-called conservatives in the media. And here's what I said. Play any of them, Beowulf. Play.
I remember the 1960s when true liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. When have you last heard a liberal say, oh, I may disagree with conservative talk radio, but I would fight to the death their right to say what they believe in? I don't hear that anymore. What instead I hear is their threats to national security. That was stated on the congressional floor by Congressman Hinchey. He says, I'm a threat to national security, and he's trying to pass the so-called fairness doctrine to close down freedom of speech. Is that liberalism? Liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, Michael Savage, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. That's what this country has been about from the day it was founded. That's the trail of tears and the trail of blood that led to the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. And we cannot permit a few small-minded martinets who don't even know that they're inhabiting the souls of dictatorships in Congress right now to deny us our freedom of speech. Where are the true good liberals? This is one of my inspirations as well. It's a Philippine mahogany model of a World War II icon. It's the B-29, the Enola Gay, that concluded the war in the Pacific. I'll let you figure out why I look at this wonderful machine. Ahmadinejad, the new Hitler of our time, the so-called president of Iran, has declared his desire to create a new Holocaust against the Jews. And yet we see prominent lawyers and journalists, some of Jewish descent, in our own country, denying the Islamo-fascist connection. Worse, even defending Islamic murderers, for example, in Guantanamo, who would gladly cut their throats and decapitate them while chanting to Allah. Out of fear of offending the SS of today, they refuse to talk about the codification of hatred for Jews, Israel, the United States, and our way of life. That's freedom of speech, is it not? Or what is freedom of speech? Why do these intellectuals deny their own freedom of speech to defend the freedom to preach hatred by their enemies? Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street Journal journalist, who was executed and decapitated by the Islamofascists, was forced to say, I am a Jew. My mother was a Jew. Before Islamic murderers cut off his head while chanting to Allah. Yet that was never played on the major media. Shall I play Daniel Pearl's blood-curdling screams as he is dying, as his head is being severed? Should this be played in the United States of America so we know who our enemy is? That's freedom of speech.
So that's part of the speech that I gave that was sent to the Talkers Convention on DVD, and the DVD is available to you on my website. But I want you to see something here. I want you to see the long arc of conspiracy. Remember, I pointed out to you that C-SPAN, which covers every obscure meeting known to mankind that is political, it could be a flower show in an armory in Michigan. They would not cover the premier award at the Talkers Convention because it was given to me. Now you follow that arc and you wind up in San Francisco and you see part of that long arc, that cabal from Brian Lamb to the supervisors, all working together to take down conservative talk radio, one talker at a time. Think about what I'm saying to you. And even if you don't like me, no, I'll say it another way. Especially if you don't like what I have to say on this show, you should be worried. You should be very, very worried that you're letting a governmental official and agency go after an individual for expressing his viewpoints. Because I will remind you what Lord Acton said. Well, it wasn't Lord Acton. It was actually the cardinal who said it. Lord Acton said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It was it wasn't a cardinal either. It was a bishop from Germany who wound up in a concentration camp himself. He said, when they came for the communists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a communist. When they came for the gypsies, I did not raise my voice, he said, because I was not a gypsy. When they came for the Jews, I did not raise my voice, he said, because I was not a Jew. And when they came for me, there was no one left to talk for me. I'm addressing this to you liberals who don't recognize that by defending me, you are defending yourself. I'll be right back. Savage.
Critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
The times they are a-changin'. Whoever thought it would wind up like this? Whoever thought that a city would turn against a man for expressing his speech? Never thought I'd see it in my day, but then again, we're living in very strange times. There's an article today that I put up from the American Chronicle by Andrew T. Durham that is worth reading. It's on the top of michaelsavage.com. I want to read you the bottom of it. He says, my God, folks, can you imagine sitting at home with your family on a Saturday night watching TV and this guy wanders in through your basement door, walks up the stairs and demands that he be made a member of the family? Not only that, but he doesn't wait for your answer and walks upstairs and starts making his bed. Then he comes down and tells you that you have to leave because he doesn't like what you let your own kids watch. The single most stupid question you can ask another person is, have you lost your mind? That's because either because you're too dumb to expect an honest answer or too afraid that you'll get one. And he is writing about the fact that independent radio talk show host Michael Savage recently came under fire from a bizarre, jihad-esque threat of condemnation from yet another San Francisco fascist who was apparently taking on the cause of criminals who are in this country illegally. That's the fact of reality. And of course, many of you good liberals have been brainwashed into thinking that criminals are now, quote, undocumented. Would you then call rapists undocumented rapists? What are you talking about? How far do we have to go until you come to understand what's happened to your country? I spoke to a woman from El Salvador last week when all of this blew up, and she tried to ask me what this was all about because she said her friends from Mexico were very upset. And then I said to her, look, if you have children and they're misbehaving in your house and you say, just cut it out, you're not behaving right, and the child says, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go on a hunger strike. I'm going to eat. I'm not going to eat unless you do what I want, Mommy. I said, and you say to him, well, if you don't want to eat, then don't eat until you starve yourself to death. So she understood it. She understands satire. She understands what I was saying. And then she said to me, you know, I think about it. She says, the people in Mexico spit on us from El Salvador. She said, they treat us like garbage. I said, well, how do the Mexicans treat people from El Salvador who try to sneak across the border? She said, they have barbed wire and they have guns and they have guards and they have military personnel on the border. I said, thank you. Now you understand where I'm coming from. It's our country. We have laws, and we have to be a nation of laws, or else we will become a nation of outlaws, which is what is increasingly happening because many outlaws are sneaking across the border and disguising themselves as students, etc. WOR, New York, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Doctor. It's taken me 39 years to pick up the phone and call a radio station because I'm in desperate need of some perspective. This entire situation with the legal system is nothing but a legal theater of the absurd, and I can only reach out to you for some historical...
Well, hold on then, because I'll take your call at the beginning of the next hour. But remember, in this theater of the absurd called the legal system, sometimes good guys like me win. Sometimes the guy at the bottom comes out on top.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language,
adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Right on, the great Jimmy Cliff. The harder they come, the harder they fall.
Ooh, the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all.
Still going strong, old Michael Savage. Ever-ready batteries, I guess. All right, thanks. That's such a great song. Now, you say, well, what is this? Is this a mountain and a molehill? What's really at stake? I don't know. You got to decide how important this really is. I mean, of course, to me, it's important. But is it really that important to you? Well, I'll let you decide. Why would one of America's top civil rights attorneys, who is a liberal by definition, take this case? He doesn't need the case. He's quite busy. So what is he doing it for? Because he understands what's at stake. He understands that if they take down this talk show host, tomorrow they could take down that talk show host. The next day they could take down that protester. The day after that they could take down a politician for speaking out. And after that, you're going to wind up living in Cambodia's Pol Pot, or Pol Pot's Cambodia, with a mountain of human skulls. You have to fight the battle where it starts. Now you may say, but Michael, look, be clear about it. You're expressing volatile statements. You express volatile statements that are incendiary on your radio show. Wouldn't you expect this to happen? The answer is yes, but. And what is the but? The but is, this is not an individual. This is a city official passing a city proclamation condemning me in writing and defaming me by distorting what I actually said. Moreover, Daniel Horowitz has read the law, and he said his speech, meaning the supervisor's speech, is not protected as mine is, because the federal statutes that apply, which is 42 U.S. Code 245, says the following. It says, as used in this section, the term participating lawfully in speech or peaceful assembly shall not mean the aiding, abetting, or inciting of other persons to riot or to commit any act of physical violence upon any individual or against any real or personal property in furtherance of a riot. Now, we don't know whether there will be a riot tomorrow in front of City Hall or in front of the radio station, but we do know that we don't know who the illegal aliens are who will be there. We know for a fact that one out of three illegal prisoners in our prison system are illegal aliens who commit serious enough felonies to have gotten caught and being put away. Murderers, drug dealers, you name it, rapists, drunk drivers. One out of three prisoners in this country is an illegal alien. 30% of prisoners are illegal aliens in this country. So how many of the protesters, so-called, that are being busted to demand that I be fired are illegal alien felons? We do not know. How many of them are liable to become felons? We do not know. How many of them are liable to inflict physical violence or cause physical damage? We do not know. But we do know that this man is pouring gasoline upon an incendiary fire, much different than free speech as practiced by talk show hosts. 18 U.S. Code 241, conspiracy against rights. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person. Now listen to what I just said. Intimidate any person. They are trying to intimidate me so that I no longer speak out against the illegal alien community in this country. It says that they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years. or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or may be sentenced to death. We are dealing with a life and death issue here. It's the life and death of freedom of speech. It's the life and death of talk radio. It's the life and death of conservatism. And it's the life or death, perhaps, of an individual. That's what's at stake here. Now, you may say it's not that serious, but I take people very seriously, and I also take them on their word. And I also understand that a mob like this, which is undocumented or illegal, may contain and probably does contain a large number or a certain percentage of violent felons disguised as students. Sacramento, K-S-T-E-E-J, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm really fired up. You asked a moment ago how important you feel this is for us, and I'm here to lament that it is extremely important. I caught the tail end of your show on Friday afternoon when you first shared with us about these soulless leeches and the type of actions that they tried to rally against you with, and I was quite upset. So over the weekend, as I thought about it, I began to understand how much of an effect this actually can have in sending a message to turn the tide against this type of censorship, this type of pacification that they're trying to do, as far as, you know, just handcuff you with what you think you can say or what you feel like you have the right to say.
Right. In other words, even if they don't succeed in having me fired, they're trying to frighten me into some form of intimidation, rather. They're trying to intimidate me into not stating what I believe to be true.
It's absolutely abhorrent. It's a bull rush type of an approach, but they're here and they're trying to do it, and I just cannot believe this. Now, I actually am of Mexican descent. For generations, my family has been here. Now, it is a risk. Poor light that I think that these actions by these illegals, that is, really shed against.
You're breaking up, but EJ is a Mexican American, several generations here, and I want to reiterate what just went on. It is the legal person of Mexican descent who is probably more offended by the illegal alien than is the so-called Anglo in this country and in the country, because they understand what is at stake, and they also understand what's right is right, and what is wrong is wrong, and what's legal is legal, and what is illegal is illegal. I'd like to do something right now for those of you who have not yet or don't intend to or don't have the funds to purchase my DVD of the Freedom of Speech Award. They will play another section from the Freedom of Speech Award by Talkers Magazine, the speech that C-SPAN would not play. Now you're going to come to understand why Brian Lamb, as the little man he is, refused to air this speech. It was a long arc of conspiracy, as far as I'm concerned, whether silent or overt, by the entire progressive so-called establishment. Listen to this.
Radio is in a more perilous state today than it's been in its entire history. And that is because in South America, we have the dictator Hugo Chavez closing down an opposition TV station. Well, you say, well, that can't happen here. It can't happen here. As I speak with you, it is happening here. Congressman Hinchey of New York State, Fazio of Oregon, and others are circulating a bill in Congress for the so-called fairness doctrine. What it means is people such as Michael Savage will no longer be able to speak freely. Is that any different than Chavez closing down a TV station? Is that not dictatorship, the fairness doctrine? Of course it is. It's just that we use fancy rhetoric in this country as opposed to police power. But make no mistake about it. The fairness doctrine is censorship, and it has no place in the United States of America. Now, let me give you some examples, if I may, about the power of freedom of speech and talk radio. Al Gore, for example, in my opinion, lies when he preaches that all scientists now agree that global warming is caused by human activity. If I refute Gore's lies on the airwaves by quoting numerous prominent scientists who refute Gore's hysterical con, I am using freedom of speech granted to us by the United States Constitution to do so. If radical environmental folks were to make it a crime to deny global warming, you've heard that. They say they want to make it a crime to deny global warming. Such refutations as mine and those of prominent scientists would be banished from the discussion.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm reading my own script. I wrote this in Los Angeles. I don't have a teleprompter. That's freedom of speech.
Savage.
This will be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, I'm a product of many decades. That's the interesting thing about Michael Savage, which is that although I was born well before the 60s, I lived through the 60s, and I understood the context of the civil rights movement and the protest and whatnot. I also saw where it was going to go, and I've never lost my vision nor my dream. I held on to what the vision I had for personal freedom. And I'm really still fighting for individual rights. In this case, it's my rights, but in many ways, it's your rights as well. That's how I see it. Here's an article that just came out. Remember I quoted Andrew Durham, the author of Enough Already, Savage Can't Be Censored by Savages, which we put up on michaelsavage.com. So here's what Arita wrote. Her name is Ginger Herver, and she said, regarding your article today, just wanted to say, why are all the other writers, talk show hosts, etc., not saying the same things? She says, I already know the answer to that, but that's their problem, not mine. I look forward to the Savage Nation today because I know this fantastic article will be praised just as it should be, and it was praised. It was praised, and I do have it up on michaelsavage.com. So here are some other articles that are below all of these other things to do with the storm swirling around me. Newspaper columnist fired for writing about how nobody reads newspapers anymore. Texas Department of Public Safety tracked troopers' encounters with illegal immigrants, nearly 50,000 in 2 years. You hear this? Now, here's a really important one. We passed the 14 million vote mark. Will Giuliani, McKennedy, and Romney agree to meet the Savage Nation? That's the Savage web poll where I say, should I quit radio and run for the presidency? 14 million people have said I should. Now, I don't think you understand how important that is, but you will come to understand that the closer we get to the actual election. You just keep voting. You can't vote seconds. You can't vote more than once. But I can guarantee you that your votes are going to count when we get very close to the election. And all of the phony conservatives will be flushed out at that time. Here's another one with Rudy Giuliani in a dress and a wig. It says, Rudy on immigration and civil unions. I'm a conservative, too. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani continues to discard the moderate and liberal positions of his past. The latest, the civil unions for same-sex, blah, blah, blah. Here's another story. SF man wants foster care to keep paying him until he's 20. He says, I'm an adult, but I don't want to move out. I don't want to start paying rent. Barbara Box is trying to pass legislation which would enable these leeches, these deadbeat bums, to stay on foster care until they're at least 21 years old. Under that, uncritical asses, that's in honor of the critical masses on Friday when they blocked up traffic and beat up a limousine driver and beat up a mother with children in the car, and the police did nothing because any Toothsome Newsome was busy seeing if he can hoodwink the people into thinking he's an actual liberal. You know, Willie Brown was a real liberal, and Willie Brown came out against these selfish, narcissistic pigs on bicycles. But any Toothsome Newsome is anything but a liberal. If anything, he's probably a narcissistic anarchist. So I've put that article up, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Ted KNEW. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. I've been listening to you for a couple of years, and one of the observations dealing with this case was when it seemed that Sandoval and Trent Lott almost seemed to be in the same page, especially after Trent Lott had mentioned that talk radio seems to rule America, and we got to
do something about it. Yeah, but here's the difference. If Trent Lott had gathered a mob of illegal aliens or even legal citizens and marched over to a radio station and said, we're going to throw this talk show host off the air, any talk show host, because he was in favor of killing this bill, then he would have crossed the line and violated that person's civil rights. But Trent Lott didn't state that. Trent Lott only made a statement as a public official. He's entitled to do that. He didn't pass a proclamation against any particular host. He didn't try to get any particular host fired. He just expressed his consternation that talk radio had replaced Congress in terms of the people's support and the people's belief system. Thank you, Ted. That's to his favor. WOR, we haven't heard from anyone in New York. Armando, you're up. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, Armando.
I just wanted to tell you, Mike, that you got the veterans of Kingsbridge and the Bronx behind you 100%. You buried the suckers.
The veterans of Kingsbridge and the Bronx. I'd like to meet you guys sometimes, and I hope you're on my side when I do.
There are a bunch of us. Maybe you should send, what was his name? I forgot.
Doesn't matter. I'm not calling for any protest, Armando. If the people want to go out there to City Hall tomorrow at noon and voice their opinion, they can do so, but I'm not going to call for that. And on Wednesday at 4 o'clock Pacific time, when the mobs descend upon the radio station, if they want to protest across the street, I suppose they can do it, but I'm not encouraging that. I'm not discouraging it. I have nothing to do with it because I am going to assert my rights in the only place that really counts in this country, Armando, and that's in the courts. The liberals have used the courts to hijack our freedoms and our civil rights for 40 straight years. And now I'm going to use the very system that they have been using against them. It's the only place I can turn where I have real power, Armando. Thank you. Don't worry about me so much. That's all I can say. KNEW, Josh, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I would encourage you to waste millions of dollars and bring your feudal little flap suit against the city of San Francisco, because we will laugh it out of court, mister. You're in our house.
Excuse me, moron. You know, you are so stupid, it's frightening. This is the years you spent doing horrible things to your body have destroyed your mind. It's going to a federal court, Josh, not to a city court, where your boys in garter belts don't prevail.
Savage.
Now, you know, that last caller was pathetic, to say the least, but I want you to hear what he said. He said, go ahead and file your lawsuit. We'll throw it out because these are our courts. Now, he missed the entire point of Attorney Horowitz's appearance on the Savage Nation today. That's exactly why the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act was passed. That's exactly what it was all about in 1871. People in the Klan used to do what they want through mob violence in their courts. And as a result, the federal government stepped in and said, we're not going to let you do that to individuals, intimidate them. We're going to try these cases in federal courts so that bigots like you, Mr. Caller from San Francisco, who say these are our courts, will not be able to jury rig the results. Now, here's a man who probably marches around in the city, thinks that he's a liberal, thinks that he's a progressive, thinks that he's for things good, thinks that he's for the downtrodden, when in fact he is the Ku Klux Klan of today, albeit in pink clothing. That's exactly what we've been trying to warn you. And I'll remind you about the Night of the Long Knives in Nazi Germany. If this heats up and I start to get this pressure from the homosexual community, I'll devote an entire show or an entire week to the essay under Ernst Röhm, The Homosexual Murderers, who worked for Adolf Hitler. It's a little-known story that needs to be told again. I'm warning you to watch your step with me because I know history very well. And you can't camouflage yourself as peace-loving in my presence. Now, I'm for homosexuals having total freedom and for being left alone to do what they want. If they want to damn themselves, they can damn themselves. But on the other hand, you're not going to roll me over by threatening me with one of your absurd statements that these are our courts and we'll do to you whatever we want. You are the Ku Klux Klan of today, no matter how enlightened and progressive and refined you may think you are, my friend. And that goes for you up on Pacific Heights as well. All of you Queen Anne fronts and Mary Ann behinds, living on stolen money from the man you married. All of you up on Broadway who think that we don't know who you are, who produce junkie sons and have your soirees. We know what you are. We know that you're as fraudulent as the feldspar left in the hills of the High Sierra. There's no gold in them there hills anymore. It's just feldspar. It was all taken out by your great-grandfather, and you're living well beyond your grandfather's inheritance. That's all I can tell you. You may have paid $75,000 for your house in 1965, but we know exactly what your dresses are made from and where they come from. So don't try to pull the high-class number on me. I may be a street kid from New York, but I can smell a phony from 10 miles away. And your house doesn't impress me at all. That's an inside joke for the women of the Savage Nation. I need to give the women an outlet for their rage, too. Here's another article just came out moments ago in the Radio Equalizer on blogspot.com. Not very bright. Dim Bulb SF Soups risk turning enemy talker into hero. I don't know who Radio Equalizer is, but he's got it exactly right. He said it's, let me just read this. He said, should the syndicated talker choose to take his legal course, it would provide a great deal of additional publicity for a show. In the end, it's amazing to believe San Francisco's leaders don't recognize the benefit they are providing to Savage by pushing a condemnation resolution against him. Do they really see themselves as mainstream politicians? Do they not realize that many Americans see them as fringe kooks? Well, my friend, let me explain to you something. Red diaper dopa babies don't understand their context. They have no perspective whatsoever. No, they don't see themselves as fringe kooks because they're on drugs. Most of them have been using drugs most of their adult life. They are frightened inside. They're scared to death inside. They may put on the looks of a handsome man on the outside or a good-looking woman on the outside, but inside they're frightened to death, and they are on drugs, and they don't understand what they are doing, or they would not be doing it, would they? In that regard, I pity them. But then again, when it comes down to me against them, it's going to be me, not them. I may pity a man, but if he comes to harm me, I've got to harm him first. George Orwell lived through the communist fraud of the 1930s. George Orwell, who wrote The Great Animal Farm in 1984, had first been caught up in the 1930s when many intelligent people, intellectuals in particular, and by the way, intellectuals and intelligent people may be mutually exclusive, but in his case, he was both, was caught up in the fervor of communism in the 1930s. He thought the Soviets were great and it was great for the Russian people. And then he found out that it was a pig farm, an animal farm, where the Bolsheviks, the communists, took all the good things for themselves, all the land, all the houses, all of the power, and they were mercilessly imprisoning those who opposed them. And so he then became, George Orwell did, an anti-communist, and that's when he wrote his great books. But then he wrote some interesting things, and he said, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. That was George Orwell. Study that one. George on KXL in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for calling. You're up on the Savage Nation.
How are you doing, Dr. Savage? Yeah, one of your earlier callers was kind of baffled about why none of these other talkers, the golfer and the leprechaun, weren't saying anything about this. Well, we all know why, because they're just in it for the money. You're in it for the truth and the American people.
I believe that that's 100% true, and people who know me know it's true. You know, I have not altered my politics one iota since I began in radio. People who know me are astonished. I have original tapes. I haven't changed at all, except when I've been proven to be wrong, which I haven't been proven once to be wrong. My politics are more or less as radical and as important as they were then. And when I use the word radical, I'm using them in this context. And that's the context of Barry Goldwater when he said, can you play the Barry Goldwater piece? Because nobody has said this better than Barry Goldwater, where extremism, do you have that one ready?
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also,
what a great man,
that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
What a great man. And he was destroyed by a lawyer from Washington who I didn't know at the time, destroyed him with the anti-nuclear ad that got Kennedy elected by a hair. If we had had Goldwater, the whole country would have been a different country. But let's go back to what he said. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. If I use extreme rhetoric to defend liberty, liberty for myself in this case, but liberty for America on a daily basis, as I have for 14 years, I don't consider that to be a vice. And when the city of San Francisco tries to twist my words, take satire and turn it into hate, because they themselves are filled with hate, then, in fact, they are violating my civil rights, as I've been trying to explain to you all day long. You see, Thank you very much, George. I appreciate that. Doug, in Grand Rapids, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm a gay man. I live in the Midwest. That twit who called at the bottom of the hour, I've been to, I can't tell you how many countless bars I've been to, and I've come across those little worms, and that's one reason I live far away from the nearest gay bar. Let me tell you that right now.
Doug, I don't know how to say this without sounding like that I'm pandering to you, who seems like a very nice man. I have known men who like men for a very long time. They've been in my life. Not right now. I don't mean personally. I mean as friends. I have never made it an issue. I never mocked them. I never made it an issue. It's when the gay movement was hijacked by the Marxists and turned into a war against the middle class and the war against America that I started to fight back, Doug. That's the God's honest truth.
Michael, I can't tell you how much I'm on your side, believe me, because you are one of the few people left in the world with true common sense. This is why you're still on the radio, and this is why you'll continue to be on the radio.
Doug, listen, let me go to another point. You as a man who is vulnerable in some ways to certain things, understand that the Islamofascist kills homosexuals. How in the world can the homosexual movement not be aware of that fact? How can they be on the side of the Islamofascists instead of on the side of the people who understand the danger that we're in from them?
We are aware of it. However, we're supposedly they're more angry at you because you actually express your opinion. That's the whole point. We are completely aware of the enemy. However, we've sided with the enemy because the enemy of our enemy is our friend.
Well, that's what the Arab says, but look where it got them. They're still sucking sand 1,000 years later after they gave us the zero.
You're on the radio. Why you'll continue to be on the radio. Don't get riled up over these little twits.
You're a very nice person, Doug. Let me send you a copy of the Freedom of Speech DVD. I don't know what else to give a man as a gift, you know? Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I love all these Arab sayings that have no meaning whatsoever. There's no meaning whatsoever. None. If they knew anything, they wouldn't be sucking sand 1,000 years after they gave the world a zero. I want you to name one scientific advance that's come out of the Arab world since the 11th century. Name one. I want you to name one contribution to world civilization that's come out of the Arab world. And I'm not talking about Arab Americans who have contributed around in America. I'm talking about the Arab world. Why is it so backwards? Why is it not advanced? Why has it not gone through a renaissance? Now, take China. Here's a great nation of China, which with a great history going way before we were even a dream. Well, maybe we were a dream then. A civilization going back thousands and thousands of years. China went through a long period of affluence, and it came to an abrupt halt in approximately 1050 AD as a result of the Mandarin class, which were the bureaucrats of their time, who crushed businesses with bureaucracy and taxation. And as a result, China's creativity and business ground to a halt. It then descended into the era of the warlord and frankly didn't come back in any way, shape, or form until Mao Zedong, the communist, who killed 60 million of his own brethren, either through direct execution or through starvation. And then, of course, look at China now going through a massive boom unseen in the history of mankind, with more people achieving affluence in a shorter period of time than any time before in the history of the world, all going on under our noses in China. There are more people going from primitive rural backgrounds into virtual, in one generation, success than ever before in history. And it's occurring in China. So you have to ask yourself, why is that happening in China, which is still putatively a communist nation? It's sort of a loose communism, while it's not going on in the Arab world. And there are many, many differences between the world of China and the world of Arabia, not the least of which is their religion. The religion itself is imprisoning these people. Unless they understand that a religion can both enlighten and a religion can liberate, they will never go through the reformation that the Christian church went through in the medieval times. And unless Islam goes through a reformation, the people themselves will be the ultimate losers. Now, the Chinese as a people, as I told you last week, were, in fact, banned from religion ever since the communist poison was introduced into China. But in fact, the Chinese people have always been very spiritual, extremely spiritual. And as a result, because the edifice of communism has somehow been lessened over the last 20 or so years, the people's craving within for spirituality is now being served, but not in ways you may imagine. It is being served through Christianity. There are more Chinese converting to Christianity than anywhere on earth. Right now, there is estimated to be 100 million Chinese in China who are Christian, while there are approximately 75 million members of the Communist Chinese Party. The estimates are that by the year 2050, there will be over 250 million Chinese Christians. And this is all good for the world, very, very good for the world. But again, the main point is, analyze why in China they've gone through this phenomenal boom, economic boom, while in Arabia, other than a few places and in the hands of a few royal families and princelings, the people themselves have not moved one iota. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So Karl Rove is stepping aside to spend more time with his family. You know, when you read that, what that really means. He has a bright future ahead of him. I mean, he could become, there's many Rove can do now. He could become Rush Limbaugh's caddy. I mean, they know each other so well. Rush went on and on, the empty golf bag that he is, about what a great guy he is. Oh, he's not an insider. He's not a Bushbot. He's not a Republican. No. He's a fair-minded leader of the conservative movement, that empty golf bag. When they nailed him for the drugs, I stood up for him. He never said thank you. In my time of need, did he help me? No, because they're all the same. That's the whole point. And believe me, I know who my friends are now. I know who my friends are. Karl Rove, okay. I don't know who they're going to replace him with, frankly. But I want my opinion of why they threw him overboard all of a sudden. Because the centerpiece of George Bush's entire two administrations, 8 years, was to have been granting amnesty to the illegal aliens. Make no mistake about it. This was it. It's the reason he became president. And it took him a long time to show his true colors, but he did. And then the people caught on just in time after that secret meeting by the U.S. Senate. And they started to flood Congress with emails and letters. And Karl Rove is now the fall guy for that failure. That's my opinion. There's no other reason for him leaving now. It's the number one loss for the Bush administration is the illegal immigrant amnesty bill. And Rove couldn't get it done. He got rid of him. That's all. He's no longer useful to him. I don't know who's going to be better, though. Nobody could have gotten that done. San Diego, Kathy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello. Yes, I think that liberalism has a phenotype. And I think what it is number one, they want total control. They can't admit when they're wrong. They're very jealous. And I really think it's stunted development. It's almost like perpetual teenage.
Well, you know, we found a soundbite from the movie 1984, which is based upon the Marxist-Communist takeover of a country and what they actually say behind closed doors. So the people who pose as freedom-loving liberals actually believe the following. Play it. Go ahead and play it.
Is tearing human minds apart and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. Power is not a means. It is an end. In our world, there will only be triumph and self-abasement. Everything else we shall destroy. The past is forbidden. Why? Because when we can cut man from his own past, then we can cut him from his family, his children, other men.
Now you understand what Michael Savage has been trying to warn you. I could just play that piece and dissect it for you and show you how it goes into the root of everything I say to you every day. Power is not a means, it is an end. Did you hear that one? When we cut a man from his past, we can cut him from his family and from his friends. Now, what do they mean by they want to cut you from your past? Have you noticed they took away Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday and replaced it with only one man by name, Martin Luther King Jr. Day? How many years have I gone in the air and told you that it's an absurdity to name it for a man when they took away the names of men, Lincoln, the men Lincoln and Washington? And that if you want to honor Martin Luther King Jr. for his accomplishments, then call it Civil Rights Day, but not by a man's name. Now, that's an example of Marxism at work. I've been telling you that for 15 straight years. The attack upon the family with the so-called gay marriage push is again an attempt by the Marxist cabal, the Marxist lobby, to destroy the brick of civilization, which is genuine marriage between a man and a woman. Does every gay understand this? Of course not. They're useful idiots being played like puppets by the lawyers and the politicians behind the attempt to make over the United States of America into a Marxist state. So everything I'm trying to tell you fits together. Taking down talk show hosts like Michael Savage, who have warned you not to let them run illegal aliens across America because they're trampling on your flag, trampling on your language, trampling on your civil rights, is really an attempt to maintain freedom in this country. Because if you allow 20 million illegal aliens to become citizens overnight or grant them that, they go ahead of you online, they go ahead of your children online for affirmative action, etc. Because they will use two trump cards, new immigrant and non-white, as an example, to become cops, firemen, teachers, social workers, and, of course, to qualify for scholarships and admissions to colleges. In other words, that's an attempt to transform the nation overnight into a third world nation. That's what's at stake. It's why the people have finally risen up and said no to McCain-Kennedy, no to Bush, no to Rove, no to the entire pack of illegitimate who try to run us over like this for their own personal reasons, which I still to this day don't know what they are. They must know exactly what's going on here. So there's much more at stake than simply one man in a city of San Francisco called Michael Savage. I am simply the point man for all of this right now. And I ask for your support. And the best way you can support me is by simply listening to this show and telling your friends about it. And frankly, download all of the legal articles on michaelsavage.com.
Savage.